Okay, good evening, everyone. Right now we're in the Bein HaShemashos. We're in the twilight zone between Ta'anit Esther and Purim. And the holiday of Purim is coming upon us. So I wanted to spend some time, of course, getting us prepared, getting us in the spirit, and trying to get a little bit to the essence of Purim. We'll have an opportunity to also see a little bit of the Megillah, so both sort of the halachic, some of the concepts, the themes of Purim, but also we'll be able to get a little bit into the Megillah, into the Gemara, etc. Purim is a favorite holiday for a lot of people. For some people, Purim is the point of the whole year. We live for it. We live for Purim. We live to party, to be happy, etc. What's strange about what's different about Purim, and for that matter Hanukkah from other holidays, is that Purim is not explicitly, obviously, found in the Torah, and chronologically, it's not in the Torah, but nonetheless, Purim has a very important status that that distinguishes it from other holidays. So there's a very jarring statement. If you look at source 1 on page 3, there's a medrash in Yalkut Shimoni. It says something quite jarring. It makes a statement, Kol hamawadim atidin libatel. All of the holidays are going to be eliminated. V'mei haPurim einam b'tayim le'olam. The days of Purim will never be eliminated. Amar Rabbi Elazar, af yom kippurim lo gatel le'olam. And Rabbi Elazar adds that Yom Kippur will also not be canceled. So, if you heard me correctly, what you understood is that Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, maybe Yom Kippur, in the days of Mashiach, we won't see them anymore. They're mitzvahs in the Torah. So we'll have to talk about why that extreme conclusion perhaps is not entirely warranted. But still, Purim has a, seems to have a very special status. Now, also, we see here that Yom Kippur is included here. So, you might have heard what seems like a sort of a hippie Hasidish concept that that Purim, Yom Kippurim, that Yom Kippur is like Purim, and Purim is the essence. And you might think that's a little bit wacky, but the truth is that the comparison between Purim and Yom Kippur has its basis in Chazal. There's a lot of things I could say about the comparison that that I think are actually quite profound. That's not our topic for right now, but noteworthy that Purim and Yom Kippur seem to have the same status. It seems like it wouldn't be a coincidence. So how do we know that Purim has a special status and that it's not going to be eliminated ever? So there's a pasuk that we actually just read in the Haftarah this afternoon. Vayal Hashem L'shem Le'ot Olam Lo Yikaret. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. So the Gemara Megillah, source 2, says that Vayal Hashem L'shem Zot Mikrab Megillah. The name that will last, the name for Hashem is the reading of Megillah. Le'ot Olam Lo Yikaret, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. These are the days of Purim. These are the days of Purim. So what we see here is that both Mikra Megillah, the reading of the Megillah, and Purim are significant, are meant to last forever. So again, where is Chazal really getting this from? So one of the psukim in Megillat Esther says, source 3, V'hayamim ha'ela niskarim v'nasim b'chol dor v'ador. Consequently, these days are recalled and observed in every generation, by every family, by every state, by every city. V'imei ha'purim ha'ela lo ya'avru mitoch ha'yehudim, v'zichram lo yasuf mizaram. These days of Purim shall never cease among the Jews, and the memory of them shall never perish from among their descendants. So again, that is explicitly hinting that it's not just a platitude that Purim's an unforgettable holiday, but means that Purim will always exist forever, that it will never, that the observance of Purim will never stop. The Brisker Rav Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik suggests that V'imei Purim ha'ele lo yavru mitoch ha'yehudim. That refers to the fact that Purim itself will never be eliminated. V'zichram lo yasuf mizaram, the memory of Purim not being eliminated, refers to the Megillah. So what we've seen here is really two things. From the Gemara, from the Medrash, from Megillat Esther, is that it seems like that the holiday of Purim, as well as the Megillah, are going to have an everlasting status in a way that they will somewhat outshine or outdo the other holidays. So let's try to understand a little bit more. So in terms of the Megillah itself, so the Talmud Yerushalmi quotes the opinions of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Reish Lakish, right? Two were famous chavrusas in Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Hanavim Vaksuvim Atidim Libatel. Navi, the Nach part of Tanakh will eventually disappear. They will be nullified. The Chameshes Sifrei Torah Einan Atidim Libatel. So of course, one of the foundations of our belief is that the Torah Shebichtav will never be replaced. It will never change. Will never be canceled. But Navi and Ksuvim are more dispensable. And in fact, there is a possibility that in the future they will be gotten rid of. So why would the Torah not be canceled out? Because of the pasuk in Dvarim that says Kol Gadol V'lo Yasef, that there is this great voice that will not stop. But Reish Lakish adds, Af Megillas Esther V'alachos Einan Atidin Libatel. So Megillas Esther and Torah Shebaal Peh, the laws, practices will never be canceled. And this is based on the pasuk that we just read before, V'zichram lo yasuf mizaram. So just like Torah Shebichtav, it's the same word, yasuf. Just like the Torah Shebichtav, just like the written Torah will never be eliminated, so too Megillat Esther will not be eliminated. So again, if you heard me correctly, what I've basically said so far is that we have a Torah Shebichtav. We know the Torah is very important, but Megillat Esther is number two, and everything else is dispensable. It's a very jarring statement. So the Rambam codifies this, that kol sifrei navim v'kol haktuvim atidim libatel limot ha-mashiach chus b'megillat Esther. So the Rambam says that all of the prophets, the writings, will be eliminated in the days of Mashiach, with the exception of Megillat Esther. So that's what the Rambam says. Comes the Ravid, look on page 4. Source 6, comes the Ravid. Ravid was a famous interlocutor of the Rambam. He includes many glosses on the Rambam and argues with the Rambam very frequently. So the Ravid says, Amar Avraham, his name was Rav Avraham ben David, Amar Avraham, Davar Hedyotos Hu Zeh. Davar Hedyotos Hu Zeh. The word Hedyot sounds in Hebrew like it is in English. What the Rambam is saying is absolutely ridiculous, cannot be taken seriously. This is complete Nourishkeit nonsense, says the Ravid. Right? The Rishonim were very colorful with each other sometimes. Okay, so the Ravid says that the Rambam's statement, now the Rambam is based on the Rishalmi, so he's not making up out of nowhere, but the Ravid does not like the Rambam's interpretation of this Yerushalmi. There's no way that you can say that Nach will be eliminated. The importance of Nach, so even though the Navi and the Ksuvim have a lot of stories and maybe poetry, so maybe you could say, okay, so they're stories, they're maybe not the most important things, but every Sefer has things that we can learn from it, including Halach Lamaisa. In fact, that's the whole idea, why is root included in Tanakh, because it doesn't teach us any Halacha. Right, so that's corroborated by what the Ravid is saying, that every Sefer in Tanakh can teach us a halacha. So you can't say that these Sfarim are going to be gotten rid of, because they teach us important things. So what he's saying is that, so the Ravid is saying that what it means that the other books will be eliminated is milikrot b'ha megillah lo tzvatel milikrot ota b'tzibur. So, sorry, sha'ar Sfarim, so other books will not be read publicly anymore, but the Megillah will be. So what that means is, unfortunately, in the days of Mashiach, we will not be saying Haftaras anymore. I hope everyone can deal with that. The price of Mashiach is that we won't have Haftara and Shul anymore. Kiddush clubs will have to figure out what to do with themselves. But Megillas Esther, we're still going to have, right? Also, you know, no more Kohelet on Shabbos Chol Moed Sukkos. We're going to have a shorter davening on Shabbos Chol Moed Sukkos. No more Kohelet, Shir Shirim, Root. They will not be read in public. Only Megillat Esther.
But okay. You just said that there won't be even the holidays anymore.
Okay, so we have two separate problems here, and hopefully by the end we'll see that maybe maybe we'll see. So the Alshech, the Rambam has a big problem. The Rambam had said that the other Sfarim won't exist in the times of Mashiach. But the Ravid says we need them because they teach us important things. So the Alshech, Rav Moshe Alshech, he's a commentator on a lot of, not all of Tanakh, most books of Tanakh. And so he says on this pasuk that we learn from, that in the days of Mashiach, so we have a pasuk, Kimala ha'aretz de'a es Hashem, that in the days of Mashiach, the entire world will recognize God, that we'll have a superior form of knowledge than what we have right now. So the idea that all the Sfarim teach us halachas, so that's why we need Nach right now. The reason why we need Nevi'im and Ksuvim right now is because we don't have a full understanding of the Torah. We can't entirely understand Hashem. We can't entirely understand the Torah. So therefore we need the Sfarim of Nevi'im and Ksuvim in order to teach us these halachot. But in the days of Mashiach, we will no longer need those books because we'll be able to have a higher understanding of Hashem and His will. So we'll be able, all the halachos that are hinted at in Navi and Ksuvim, we'll be able to understand through the Torah itself in the day of Mashiach. But when it comes to Megillas Esther, it's a little bit different because there's a pasuk that says, when it comes to Amalek, K'tov zot zikaron ba'sefer. So write this memory in a book. So Chazal darshan this to understand that the word sefer refers to Megillat Esther. So Megillat Esther itself is a sefer recognized by the Torah, and it's supposed to be written, supposed to be preserved forever. So while the other books of Navi and Ksuvim in theory are again dispensable according to what we've seen, okay, so the Ravid doesn't like it, but everybody else seems to be okay with the notion that maybe we don't need the other Sfarim in Tanakh. But Megillat Esther is hinted at the Torah as an important book, and it's never going to be nullified. This notion, by the way, of the dispensability of books in Tanakh comes from a beautiful Gemara in Darim. For those who did Daf Yomi recently, you might have seen this, where Rav Adab Rabbi Hanina says, if Bnei Yisrael had not sinned, the only books we would have in our scriptures, if not for Bnei Yisrael sinning, would be the five books of Moses and Yehoshua. We need Yehoshua because it teaches us how to divide Eretz Yisrael. But if you think about it, what's going on in Shoftim and Shmuel and Melachim and all the Nevi'im Achronim? What's going on there is a lot of stories that are not so glorious. People wonder, how do we know that Tanakh is true? Because most people would not include books in their canon that speak pretty badly about the people, right? When you think about it, Shoftim, Shmuel, Melachim, Yeshayahu, Zechariah, Yirmiyahu, all those books tell us pretty bad things about the Jewish people. So if we hadn't sinned, we wouldn't need those books. So what? Okay, so there would have been, you know, right, exactly. So we wouldn't have happened, and therefore we wouldn't need the books. And there would have been maybe there would have been more glorious books written, but so while this Gemara doesn't mention anything about Esther, but there is precedent for this idea that much of Nach is in theory could be gotten rid of. Days of Mashiach, perhaps it will be gotten rid of, but Esther seems to have an important status. So another way that this comes out, if you look on page 5, this is a very fascinating thing. So in most of Tanakh, if you look in most of Tanakh, when you see Yerushalayim, when you see the word Yerushalayim, there's no yud at the end between the lamed and the mem. It looks like Yerushalayim, right? But there's no yud. There's no yud. So, but in Megillat Esther, in the second chapter, when it talks about, when it introduces us to Mordechai and Esther, it says, Asher hogla miYerushalayim, that they were exiled from Yerushalayim with the yud. So what's going on there? So the Tzlach, who's the note of Yehuda, who's Rav Yechezkel Landau, He explains that the reason why the Yud is often missing in Yerushalayim is because, again, if you look at most of the books of Nevi'im and Ksuvim, so they're books of exile, they're books that talk about our sins, and they talk about the incompleteness of the world and incompleteness of the Jewish people. And but the addition of the Yud to Yerushalayim, the only way that Yerushalayim will become complete is when Hashem's throne and glory are fully restored. But what the Tzach points out is that the only way this can happen is through the destruction of Amalek. Only through the destruction of Amalek, right? Which is obviously very important for Purim. But the idea here being that that in the days that that you know, without Mashiach, while we're in Galus, so Yerushalayim is broken, it's not entirely complete. But when there is Mashiach, that you will be at Yerushalayim will be complete. So that gives us a little bit of a sense. It gives us a little bit of sense of what this has to do with Esther, because Book of Esther is about overcoming Haman. So when the events of Esther are fully realized, so then we'll have full redemption, right? The seed of Amalek will have been fully destroyed. Yerushalayim will be able to be restored. So look at source 11. The Manot HaLevi is the commentary on Megillat Esther by Rav Shlomo Alkabetz. Rav Shlomo Alkabetz is famous for writing the poem L'Chadodi. He has an entire commentary, very comprehensive commentary on Megillat Esther. And he says that the reason why the Yud exists in Megillat Esther and Yerushalayim in a way it doesn't otherwise is Kikol HaMegillos VeNevuos Yivatlu. All the other books won't exist in the future. Bevo HaGoel, when Mashiach comes. Chutz b'Megillat Esther, sh'ne'emar v'zichram lo yasut mizar'am. The way the Hagioni Halacha, the way Rav Yitzchak Mirsky explains it, is that the Ruach there's a discussion about whether Esther was written with Ruach HaKodesh. Let's say if it was written with Ruach HaKodesh, so they had the Ruach HaKodesh to realize that Megillat Esther would exist in the time of Mashiach. And in the time of Mashiach, that Yud will be extremely relevant, because Yerushalayim will be complete in days of Mashiach. So already you get this hint from the fact that there's a Yud in Yerushalayim that the book of Esther will exist in the times of Mashiach. Okay. But still, all this begs the question of why is it that Esther has the special status? Why is it that that Esther will exist in the days of Mashiach in a way that the other books will not? And also, again, we talked about how, in general, Purim is not going to be eliminated. So what is it that about Purim that's special? So one thing that's interesting to note is that we think that the Torah, when the Torah was given, that everybody agreed to it, right? So do a little bit of flipping. But source 13, we were told in Parsha Mishpatim that when the people were given the Torah, it says, "Vayomru kol asher dibar Hashem, naseh v'nishma." We'll do everything that Hashem said. And not only will we do it, but we'll do it even before we understand it. So the Pasuk is telling us, it seems like, that the Jewish people accepted the Torah out of volition. Except there's a famous Gemara in Shabbos that says otherwise. That when Bnei Israel were standing at the foot of the mountain, Vayigasfu b'tachtit ha'har. So tachtit sounds like tachat. Sounds like they were standing under the mountain. So what was going on over the under the mountain? So the idea is HaKadosh Baruch Hu picked up Har Sinai and said to Bnei Israel, either you accept the Torah or I'll drop this mountain on top of all of you and your grave will be right here. Which makes it sound like that Bnei Israel accepted the Torah out of coercion, by force. So the Gemara suggests, well, maybe that's problematic, because maybe someone can say, you know what? Maybe we don't have to keep the Torah because we're only doing because we're forced to. So why should we bother? Except Rava tells us that even so, in the days of Achashverosh, the Jewish people reaccepted the Torah, because the Megillah says, "Kimu v'kiblu ha'yehudim, kimu masha kiblu kfar." Why does it say that they upheld and then received? That the Jews upheld and then received, right? It should be that they received and then they upheld. But the Gemara explains that the Jewish people decided to uphold what they had already accepted. Meaning, even though they had already accepted the Torah once, they decided they wanted to accept it again. And Rashi explains this is because of their love of Hashem, because of the miracles that took place. If you look at source 14, the Maharam in Or Chadash, explains, that the way we know that the Jewish people accepted Torah voluntarily is because there are new mitzvahs that we get when we get to Megillat Esther. Because remember, this is before Ezra, this is before Anshei Knesset Gedolah, this is before Mishnah Gemara. Esther is really the first time that there are new mitzvahs that appear. But you have the mitzvah of reading Megillah, you have the mitzvah of Mishloach Manot, Matanot Avionim. So how do I know that we really want to do those? The fact that the Jewish people accepted these mitzvot means that they voluntarily accepted these mitzvot. They voluntarily accepted to follow the mitzvot of Purim, which also tells us that they accepted the rest of the Torah. So there's this link between Purim and the Megillah on the one hand and Har Sinai receiving the Torah on the other hand. We see this also the pasuk La'yehudim Hayta Raf Simchav Sason Vikar. In source 15, this is towards the end of Megillat Esther, the Jews had light, gladness, joy, and honor. And the Gemara says that Ora refers to Torah, light refers to Torah, and Simcha refers to Yantif, and Sason refers to Bris Milah, and Vikar refers to Tefillin. So one could ask the question, why is it that the Torah has to, why is it that the Megillah has to hint to Torah and Tefillah and Bris Milah? Why doesn't it just say that the Jews reaccepted or reacclaimed these mitzvos, or they celebrated these mitzvos of Torah and Torah and Yantif and Bris Milah and Tefillah? So the answer is that the Megillah wants to highlight that the Jewish people were doing these mitzvot no longer because they were forced to do it, but because they reaccepted it because of their love of the Jewish people. We also see a hint to Har Sinai in the Megillah when the pasuk says "Vekibel haYehudim et asher hechelu," that the Jews accepted the obligation that they had begun. But what's strange is that the word "kibel" is in the singular. It should say "Vekiblu haYehudim." So we have this also by Har Sinai that it says "Vayichanu b'Mibar Sinai vayichan sham Yisrael neged ahar." This is source 17 on page 7. That Bnei Israel encamped by the mountain. There also it says it's in the singular. And Rashi explains that means that Bnei Israel were like one person when they received the Torah. And so too perhaps, at the time when they reaccepted the Torah in the time of the Megillah, Vekibel HaYehudim, that they accepted it like one person with one heart, that there was unity among the Jewish people in that moment. But what we see from these comparisons, these links between the Megillah and the receiving of the Torah, the Hagioni Halacha explains, is that the Megillah is basically like the Torah itself. And you can't cancel the Megillah because the Megillah itself is like Torah. The Megillah is the source for the voluntary acceptance of the Torah, the reaccepting of the Torah, and the fact that we did it because we love Hashem. It's noteworthy that when it comes to other holidays, so when you think about Pesach, so Pesach was like revealed miracles and things that people saw. So maybe it's not that the Jewish people were forced to keep the Torah, but when they experienced Yetziyat Mitzrayim, when they left Egypt, how could they not accept the Torah? Look at what Hashem did for us. But when we get to Purim, that's when we realize that that even with the hidden miracles, the Jewish people were able to see Hashem, and then they voluntarily accept the Torah. So I'll just conclude by discussing then, what does it really mean? What does it really mean when we say that Purim won't be eliminated, but the other holidays will? So the Rashba was actually asked this question, and the person who asked this question was like very cynical about this idea. He says, "Mi huzeh sheyomar shivatel min haTorah afilu od achad v'afilu kotzo shel yud?" Who's such a person who can say that even one iota of the Torah will be eliminated? And he says, "I've heard many different explanations, but they don't make any sense to me." But there's a pasuk in Eicha. Purim, in some ways, is the flip side of Eicha. There's a pasuk in Eicha that says, "Shachach Hashem b'Tzion Moed v'Shabbat." The Kadosh Baruch Hu forgets Moed, holidays, and Shabbos. It may be that because of sins, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in theory, could get rid of other yontifs. He could get rid of the other holidays. But when it comes to Purim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that we will never get rid of Purim. That day of simcha, that day of joy, that day of celebrating Hashem's protection will always be there. The Manu Levi has a different explanation, though. That when we talk about that Yivatel, When we talk about bitul of Purim, when we talk about the nullification of Purim, so there's two ways to understand nullification. On the one hand, you could say that we're completely getting rid of it, but there's another concept of bitul. For those who have been learning Kasha with me, we've been talking about the fact that when two foods are mixed together and there are different species and one is totally, the non-kosher element totally disappears in the food and it's bata bashishim, it's 1/60th of the food, you don't even know it's there, it doesn't give any taste. So that's also another form of bitul. And so the Manos Levi, Rav Shlomo Alkabet, suggests from here that the idea that that the other holidays will be mivutal, that they'll be canceled, is not that she'ena kavana she'nochal chametz b'Pesach, or that we're not going to give the korban Pesach, or she'lo nase sukkah chalila. God forbid, it doesn't mean that we won't celebrate Pesach and that we'll eat chametz on Pesach. It doesn't mean that we won't sit in sukkah. But it means that there will come a time when the miracle of Purim is so greatly understood because of the desire of Haman to destroy the entire Jewish people in one day. The entire Jewish people in one day. A genocide in one fell swoop. You can't really beat that. And there will come one day when Mashiach comes where we'll appreciate the most, to the best extent possible, how Kadosh Baruch Hu saved us. And then in that case, the other holidays, we'll observe them, but they won't have the same significance. But Purim will always maintain its significance. So with that said, we're going to go into celebrating Purim, and we should have in mind, A, the reacceptance of the Torah and the fact that we're doing it from joy because of the hidden miracles that Kadosh Baruch Hu performed for us, but that this day, it's not just a cute thing that Purim is such a special day, more so than other holidays, but the messages of Purim in some ways really are in a class of their own. The last thing I'll say, and then we'll go into Maariv. I wrote in the beginning of the introduction to the packet that the word Purim could be Rosh Hashanah, so it could be an acronym for Pesach, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Matan Torah for Shavuos. And in that sense also, Purim really encompasses the Simcha. Purim encompasses the themes of all those holidays, and in that sense, it makes Purim stand out to the point that Purim can never be canceled out. Chag Sameach.